from a system standpoint, you mentioned in your questions, you mentioned SAGE, and that's semi-automatic ground environment. Well, fiber optics allows you to transmit all of this information among these various places economically, and I think that it is probably a more reliable way than doing it via satellite, because now you can have people come in and blow up your fiber optic tunnels and so on, but I think that that's easier to protect from than satellites. Now, again, I think you've got to look at the economics of it and see which is more economical. Certainly, fiber optics is so much cheaper than wire conductors that I think it would be a good competitor for satellite communication. And but again, I think that this all went back to the ability to generate coherent optical frequencies efficiently. And this went back to the fact that you're able to build things a molecule at a time now. And so it's these technologies that we have been able to evolve that has allowed us to move up into the optical frequency region, not just up into the microwave region. In other words, let's face it, before World War I, radio communication, Marconi, was low frequency, and in World War II, most of our communication was via the high frequency band. In other words, as I mentioned in Ceylon, I had a transmitter that operated at 12 megacycles or megahertz during the day. We would drop to 6 megahertz at night because the heavy side layer, you know, the sun was down and you didn't have the reflection off the layer there. And so you essentially were using ground waves. And so, again, all of that energy was being handled in these high-frequency regions. And then as we got to the point where we could generate coherent microwaves, then we got to get into the microwave region. We went to the microwave towers for transmitting from coast to coast, and we took advantage of this broad bandwidth that we were able to get with the microwave system. And because, again, let's face it, when we were operating with five-letter code groups at 15 to 20 words a minute, all you needed really was a couple hundred cycles bandwidth to transmit this information. A TV signal, really, you need a couple megahertz in order to get a good signal. Really, 5 megahertz or 10 megahertz is better. And, of course, now you have computers that operate at 350 or 400 megahertz. Whereas back in World War II, you weren't able to do that. In other words, because you had nothing but vacuum tubes. And now, again, you had klystrons, which were vacuum tubes, but and you had the magnetron, but which, again, was a very key invention. In other words, the cavity magnetron that came from Birmingham, and that, and the, you know, the Sizzard mission in, what was it, 1940? And so that we essentially generated microwaves initially with tubes, and we were able to generate it very inefficiently with semiconductors. We were able to generate it better with gallium arsenide, and but gallium arsenide didn't have the natural silicon dioxide insulating layer that you could generate very easily on a silicon chip. And so that it was a matter of learning how to make these things, how to do the processing and so on. And then, again, all of this technology led to our ability to produce stable frequency sources. And I think that it all gets back to our ability to manufacture these things. And, of course, I mentioned that this Bambi project, if we'd had the memory and so forth back then, that you could have implemented it. However, now the same technology that has improved the memory has also improved the basic infrared camera and so forth. You don't have the defects in it.
Right, you have solid-state detectors. And it's just like your solid-state processors, solid-state memory. But again,
you've gotten rid of a lot of these defects because of the improvement in your manufacturing processes and being able to do things a molecule at a time. So, again, I think that if you look at it, it's these manufacturing processes that have really improved everything. And because this allows you to get more efficient devices. And as I say, I think it's probably still true that it probably takes three times as much mass or area to get rid of the heat as it does to generate it in the first place. And so the more efficient your device is, the better system, the smaller system you can implement.